Oh, sorry, the tea's cold. It's a mixture of forgetting about it and then putting in frozen milk. Do you want to pop it in the microwave?
No, actually, mine's all right because I don't like a too hot a cup. I've got asbestos hands, but not asbestos tongue.
Okay. Cherry fact.
Hang on, let's do another jingle.
Hi, gang.
I always do that voice when I say hello. I don't know why. It's like I get nervous.
So I decided that I was going to say hello. I was going to be French. I was going to be like, salut mon ami. I just panicked and said, hi, gang.
Well, I panic when you speak French.
Good. How's your cold tea?
It's gorgeous. It's nice, actually. I like a tepid tea.
Tepid tea.
We've done all the sacrilegious things for tea. Like, if there are any tea lovers, they've just gone away from our podcast because we've said microwave and I've just said tepid tea. It's like all the things that are wrong in this world.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Shall we crack on?
Let's crack on with episode 5, or 5.
Which is called Backed Up.
It is called Backed Up. I'd forgotten what we were going to call it. I was like, oh, we've named it again. But we have named it and it's called Backed Up.
Because we are covering the backing singers / dancers of Eurovision today.
I mean, now, there are many. Just to pre-warn you, this episode could last for days. Mm. So we've just picked six sort of semi-famous ones, and then a couple of less famous ones, just to get us started. And I think it might be a theme that we can return to.
Definitely. Definitely we can. And also, excitingly, we will have a little interview later on because we met with the wonderful Michael and Nadia Storrs. Michael and Nadia Storrs. Michael, I spoke about him previously.
In fact, we yelled about him.
We yelled about him.
In episode 1.
Because he's seen and been very close to Suri. Singing together, not just as a stalker. That would be weird. And Nadia is his lovely wife, who I don't know whether I've mentioned this to you, but I went to Eurovision.
Clown.
And she was there with me.
She went with you.
She was my work wife. While I was there, so we were on the ship together. So, yeah, little interview with them, which will be fabulous. But anyway.
Should we crack on with the parish notices?
Yes.
I think that Gina
Parish notices.
So our first parish notice is, so last week we played the bookies' favourite for Eurovision 2018, which was Israel, Toy, and we thought it would be more entertaining this week to talk about the bookies' least favourite. Take it away, Geraldine.
So the least favourite, I don't know, as with last week, I don't know anything about what it is, so we're going to find it out with you right now. But it is San Marino, which is rather topical, and I think it's probably because I revealed last week the rumours. I mean, I say I revealed.
You and Pop Bitch. Yeah,
I read it off Pop Bitch. But you're welcome, people. So, yeah, we're going to listen and watch San Marino's 2018 entry back in a sec. We are who we are, and who we are is who we want to be. We don't have to listen
I mean, there's just so much to talk about with that.
It had all the hallmarks. Like, if you were to put all those ingredients into a pot, you'd go, sure,
that's going to win.
Yeah. It had robots clapping.
I mean, the robots loved it.
It had a rap in it.
Yeah. It had an audience in weird blue scarves who were less human than the robots. They look so amazingly bored.
Invited a cult. She was lip syncing in the video that we've got, which we'll link.
Yeah, and no one has told her that when you're lip syncing, you have to actually sing. You have to actually sing along with the track.
Mm.
Otherwise, you might as well be a 14-year-old girl in your bedroom.
And you get arseholes like us.
The Spice Girls. Oh, yeah, plus we'll be dicks about it.
You're lip syncing. My favourite bit was where the rapping woman...
There's walked, a rapping woman.
...walked all the way round this other side of the stage and then just went...
and now we're back again
for no reason. And also the lyrics were in the verse were absolutely nonsensical, just like just things that rhymed.
It didn't even really rhyme.
No, but even the rap where she came out and she said, "Oh, listen up," or whatever she was doing, but it was just like, "And this rhymes with me." And a VIP.
And you will see. Now I'll go and have my tea. I mean, was it written by Olivia Newton-John?
Or Desiree.
No, oh, that song. Because I love Desiree, but I mean, that song is madness.
I mean...
I don't understand how that got recorded.
I think she was drunk. I mean,
It's either that, but... drunk or high, or, you know, she said to her producer, "Oh, God, no, don't worry, I've totally written it, totally written the track, totally written the track." And they're like, Desiree, like, I spoke to you a couple of days ago and you hadn't written anything.
Oh,
no,
it's totally written. We've got the studio time booked, you need to get in there now.
We've only got 3 hours. No, don't worry, I've got it written. I've not got it with me right now, but I'll bring it tomorrow, don't worry. And then she literally had to make up the lyrics because she hadn't written the song.
Like a piece of ghost. Whoops, I think I saw a ghost.
That's the thing I fear the most. This rhyme, this line doesn't rhyme.
Anyway, back to
Eurovision.
San Marino.
All of that said, I don't think it's the worst song that... It can't be the worst song that has entered this year. So
I'd really like to see what it's like live.
I mean, yeah. I mean, to be fair, it might be awful live, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
And whether they have massive robots. Because that would sell it for me. If they had massive clapping robots, and then... Oh,
I never thought I'd be able to get rid of that tea.
Sorry, tea, love. Massive robots. Maybe with men inside...
So they're not robots.
So we think they're robots. What's the name of the song? Who We Are.
Who We Are.
You're welcome, San Marino. You can take that.
Yes. And then inside the robots are hot guys in silver hot pants.
Yes.
Bang. You have gone from last place to mid-table. Well done.
Possibly top of the losers.
Second half of the table, maybe.
Wow. Write that down, because we should put that in our...
For our entry.
Yeah. Robots.
The only reason I can think that it is Bookie's least favourite is because of all the scandal that you broke.
That I exclusively broke.
You and Pop Bitch.
But via Pop Bitch. Yeah.
Right. Well, that was a really long item on parish notices. I love Eurovision and I love. I love it to be good.
Yeah.
I really enjoy great music, but sometimes when it's awful, it's just wonderful.
It's just, I know. That's really what you want, isn't it?
Gets me up in the morning.
It's really what you want. It's just, what rubbish are they going to put
out?
Yeah,
this morning I just woke up and I thought, oh, scooch, you know?
Exactly.
Right, moving on. We're definitely coming back to Scooch in another episode. Moving on, the second item in Parish Notices is we have had fan mail.
Ooh.
Yes, everybody. Carol from Streatham.
Hi,
Carol. Has messaged to say that she's liking the podcast. Match.
That'd be awkward.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Mail.
You're rubbish.
And I've sent some poo in the post.
Every week you bring that up. You're obsessed with that.
If anyone gets any, it's not from me.
So she says, fun fact, I was in Starlight Express with Nikki Belcher, who was one of Samantha Janice's backup singers.
Ooh.
Hashtag tenuous link. Or just picking up on the lingo. And she goes on to say that she thinks we probably know this anyway. We don't. But
what we do now.
We do now. Nikki Belcher's sister is Lynn Paul from the New Seekers.
Which is just like, if you could, it's like,
It's all linked in the matrix of Eurovision.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, I mean, I've not asked Carol this, but I wonder if I asked Carol and she asked Nikki, if they're still in regular contact, maybe we could get Nikki on. Because you noticed something.
From the video, there's, if you watch the video of Message to Your Heart, at about 2:40 something in the video.
2 minutes 49.
She turns to the backing singers and says, it's Flat Girls. So they knew that they were out of tune, or she thought that they were out of tune and she wasn't.
And I don't know, listen to it, I think that they're in tune.
Yeah.
And she's out of tune.
Yeah, I think she can't hear properly.
But again, it's like that thing with Benny and ABBA. You're holding a fucking microphone. You can't give notes during the performance. Just do it.
I mean, I was watching the ABBA one back, and I know why he did it, because that one's half the length. Because it was like the sort of whatever the musical term is, which I should know, but we'll insert it later.
Demi Lovato.
So the other ones are all like, when I lose. That was really interesting for you. Sorry, just a really long, like a
she was counting it out on her fingers.
But the other one was like half the length, so I think he went off to remind them.
Well, bloody Frida,
she
never got it right, did she? Too busy wafting.
Too busy wafting her skirt. Mm. Anyway,
also,
yes.
So harking back to that episode, Carol says, the beg, seal, or borrow chord progression that Jerry recognised in the theme song. She thinks it's the theme from the television programme Going for Gold. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
I used to love that. And actually, I think part of the reason I loved it was because it was a bit like a Eurovision quiz, because all of the different participants were from different European countries and they'd all wave mad at the beginning.
Oh.
Olaf from Norway. Aoife from Ireland. Derek from England.
Well, we need to hear it.
We do. So I'm gonna get that on YouTube right now. Should we listen to the New Seekers first?
Yeah, let's compare and contrast.
Right. You know I beg, steal, or borrow, but I'll bring you love. People are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can when they're going for. Well done, Carol.
Yeah.
Good spot.
And also, it's just thrown me into a nostalgic spiral.
I want to do a podcast about Going for Gold.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that next. Maybe after Eurovision's over, we'll do the Going for Gold podcast.
Such
or did you just
program.
Want to do one in the? No, let's do a whole series. We could cover a whole.
Yeah.
We could just cover every episode of Going for Gold and just talk about it.
I mean, that would thrill me.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's all on YouTube. If you can find it and watch it.
Well, I'm going to look that up, and if it is, then we're totally doing it. And we can do a whole episode on breaking down the theme.
That's item two of three on Parish's notices.
Yep.
Parish's just notices. I'm drinking tea. Jerry, take over.
The third is we've had an entry for the competition. This one is from the lovely Amy Shores, and she has written that she would like to enter this into the competition. Her title is Le Voix Fantastique, Dance for Love.
I love that.
Which is amazing. But also she has specified something. She said, Le Voix Fantastique, Dance for Love, very important that love is capitalised in the title and in the music. your wish is our command.
It's our command.
If it gets picked out.
If it gets picked out of the cozy.
But I mean, that's a front runner. As much as I love peace drums.
Yeah. I really want to write that song.
It's just, it's got everything. It's got some French. It's got love in it. It doesn't make sense. It's brilliant.
What more do you want?
Don't need anything else. Well done, Amy.
Thanks, Amy. Now, if you are wanting to enter the competition, I just want to say that although ostensibly there's no prize, you will be given a writing credit. And then, of course, once this song wins the Eurovision Song Contest, you will have written a Eurovision Song Contest winning song.
Yeah.
Partially. And I presume there's some kind of prize for that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And there'll certainly be royalties from the sales of the song.
And it will do really well.
So you'll make some money. So don't shrug this off as, well, there isn't even a prize.
Some silly...
Yeah.
No, there is a prize.
There's a possible prize of millions of pounds.
Yeah.
And one third of a Eurovision Song Contest trophy.
Yeah. Yes.
So, that being said, it's at Don't Play the Song via Twitter, don'tplaythatsongagain@gmail.com. We're Don't Play That Song Again on Instagram, although I'm not quite sure how you would give us the title in pictorial or boomerang form.
I would like to throw that gauntlet down.
I mean, yeah, do it. Any other methods of communication?
Michael's address is... no, I think you've covered them there.
Lovely. Right. Well, guys, this is episode 5. It's April. The competition is very soon.
Yep.
And that will be the end of the series. We, you know, after the grand final, we're going to be drawing out the competition. So you don't have as long as you think you do.
Yeah.
Send us in your entries.
Yeah. And it's just that you don't have... Just give us some words.
I mean, yeah.
Linked together in a kind of form.
It doesn't need to make sense.
No. Amy's proved that. Cannot wait. So, yeah, looking forward to receiving them. Thanking you kindly.
Thank you much. Next on the agenda, it's Surrey Facts.
Surrey Facts.
I'm Surrey, I don't believe that.
So today's Surrey Fact is that she has performed for the Prince of Wales as a child. No, he was a grown man.
Right.
And she was a child prodigy. I've decided she was a prodigy.
I believe you.
Yeah. It was, well, she's performed at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yes.
And
at St Paul's, I believe.
And St Paul's, yeah, St Paul's.
So presumably at one of those venues.
You'd think.
It is where she performed for the Prince of Wales.
Maybe, or maybe it was just like the local pub and he was coming. It doesn't matter, because the point is he was there... And she performed for him.
And he enjoyed the performance.
I hope so. This is taking a turn. But yeah, she did perform for the Prince of Wales, which is really interesting.
And it would be interesting if we knew more about it.
I don't know. I think the sense of kind of mystery around it all adds to the enigma.
And intrigue.
Yeah.
And of course, when Surrey... comes on the show.
Yeah, she can explain.
She can explain all of the Surrey facts that are basically half-truths because we don't really know.
Because we don't know. But yeah, so that's today's Surrey fact.
You're welcome. Right, so what we did, because there's so many amazing backing performances in Eurovision, is that we just had a little brainstorm and we just picked our faves off the top of our head, because we could have picked hundreds.
Yeah, we could have just watched every one I mean, from the show, apart from like 88, where they all just stood
they
still.
They couldn't move.
They stood still by themselves.
Yeah, and we did start to fall down a bit of a black hole of watching lots of Eurovision, trying to find. So we're just like, let's stop, because we'll be here all night and we won't record anything. So we've picked six or seven, and we're just going to work through them.
Yeah.
So the first one on our list was the Russian Grammys. Cue the video.
I think that's the quietest we've ever been while watching.
I actually had an out-of-body experience, then caught myself open-mouthed. I mean, first of all, we've failed with the theme of the episode straight off the bat, because I just had assumed that there was an actual performer and then the grannies were like backup.
No.
But it's just the grannies.
But the oven is the backup and the biscuits are the backup.
I know, yeah. There was a lot of attention was paid to this oven.
So they come on and they put a tray with fake biscuits into this fake oven. And then they come forward and you can see fake smoke coming out of the oven. And then they sing.
Ish.
It's kind of slow and like a native song.
Folk song.
Yeah.
Although not all of them are singing. Some of them are just sort of looking vague.
And then it sort of picks up and some flashy lights and some dancing happens. And then they're saying, come on and dance.
Everybody dance.
Yeah.
Come on in.
And then there's a bit where the camera zooms in on the oven again. So then I'm thinking, are they cannibals? Are they cooking somebody? Are they cooking a small, is it Hansel and Gretel? Are they cooked a child? But no. And then they just get the biscuits out at the end and show them. But they were having a lovely time.
They were. And like Sonia, the little granny, she knew where the camera was.
She knew where the camera was.
She chased the camera around the stage. She wasn't letting it go.
I would have loved to have been in the box where they're doing all the cameras and kind of going, you know, camera one. Because they'd be like, I don't know. I don't know what we're watching. Yeah.
Camera three, what's going on? I'm being chased by a granny.
The one on the end looked like my granny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, which would have been weird because she'd been dead for...
so I don't know why that was funny.
5 years at this point. Unless she wasn't dead. Unless she just moved to Russia to join a band. That's a nice thought. That's what I'm going to tell my children and my grandchildren when I die. I can't really tell them that when I...
No, but leave instructions in your will.
Tell them that I've joined a girl band in Russia.
You've joined Tattoo.
She's gone to a better place. Oh, blimey.
Right. Well, before we move on to the next one, I just want to say a fun fact. Jerry and I were once in a production of Hansel and Gretel together.
Yes, we were. I'd forgotten about it.
How could you?
No, it's true. Oh, no. How could I forget? I was the mute snow fox.
Yeah, you were a mute fox. I was a troll.
But sidebar on that, I should say that... So we get into rehearsals... And to be fair, I signed up and I knew that it was in Mute Snow Fox. But I decided there was a bit in the script where one of the characters would say, oh, is it Hansel? And I had to nod. Is it Gretel? I had to nod. Is it Martha? Who's my... she owned me. And I had to nod. But I decided that I was going to mime the whole show thus far. Instead of just nodding, I was going to mime the whole show. And it stayed in, so thanks for that, Reese.
Yeah, it was good. It was a highlight. Yeah, well done, you.
Took half the show.
If you're not going to give me any lines,
I'm going to take up the rest of the show. But yeah, good times. I miss it.
Next on the list, it's not his real name. I've just written Josh de Bechamel because we can't remember his real name.
Josh. Anyway, Josh. We just know him as Josh.
He's a UK entry from 2010.
2010, yeah.
Have a listen and then we'll chat. Summer, you bring the sunshine. I'll bring the good times. Just add your laughter. It's happy ever after.
the simplicity of the late 80s. They, Scott, I've come back to the late 80s. Scott Fitzgerald, Josh, we miss Josh you.
Dubovy. And I mean, so you know that bit in Love Actually when they're doing the concert? And it's so well observed. And anyway, and then the beat kicks in, and you get like really shit 14-year-old breakdancing. They do that in this. It's amazing.
But they start in boxes.
They start in a box.
The set is like steps, steps up. A kind of semicircle step type thing. I'm not describing it very well, but it's a series of boxes to make a kind of staircase. And they start in the boxes. And then there are three women on the top with like...
wind machines.
A wind machine and some drapes, some chiffon curtain. And then they come out of the box, but they do the worst roly-poly.
I could do a better roly poly.
But it's not even a forward. It's not even like a forward roll, like a really cool. It's not even cool. It's just like they're doing. It's like they're in primary school.
Year five
just,
gymnastics.
Yes. And then, but right near the end, we'll go back to bits in the middle. But just while I remember, there's a bit at the end where they do, and I can't. I don't know what it's called, but where they do a balance, where they kind of, they're on their shoulder or something and they kind of put their legs up and balance. They kind of did that but a really shit version, so they didn't even, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, no, that didn't work.
Yeah.
And just stood up.
They were never in time with each other.
No.
I mean, my personal favorite is there's a lighter haired of the two breakdancers, and he's like lounging on one of the boxes like he's sunbathing, and then out of nowhere does this head roll like he's Simba saying hello to another lion.
And then the women at the back doing when the wind machines kick in, and then they do this really awkward sexy, and I'm doing inverted commas, sexy sort of
shimmy
with the legs, but it just looks like that, you know, when your leg gives way when you're walking along. Yeah. It was just like that.
Well, the one, so we're looking at Josh at this point, and so you can just see the legs behind you. You can't see the women. And the girl in the middle, it looks like she's going to pass out. Like she's sort of, it's just really haphazardly twisted left leg. like she's, you know, like trying to wee in the wild, yeah, you know, like trying to get it to bin the right way.
And not get it on the back of the shoes.
Yeah.
I just, weirdly, that came last.
Shocking. I mean, and this is just the backing. I mean, we
haven't even touched on
Josh, who, you know, is thoroughly out of tune, all of it, and is dead behind the eyes. And this song makes no sense. It's just words.
It's just what's the opening lyric? Something like, how do I can't even remember.
How do I imagine all the happy faces that I want to see? What does that mean? Josh, what does that mean?
Oh, he was 19, I think, at the time.
Yeah. Mistake.
Ridiculous.
What were you thinking, United Kingdom?
But also, on his Wikipedia page, it says that he's best known for. So
what
this
else
is
he
like.
Known
so
for?
This is like 8 years ago. This is what he's best known. Singer, I don't know whether they say singer songwriter, but singer best known for Eurovision 2010. That, you don't want that on your Wiki page, do you?
Well, no, not if people are then going to Google that.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry, Josh. We don't mean to be mean, but it's awful. Right. Next on the list, we got Polish milk churning.
Cannot wait.
Infamous.
Had everything. I should just say that when we first were finding the video, we watched about a minute of one called The Director's Cut, which just had a close-up of the two.
So it had like 5 seconds of the close-up of the girl doing the washing.
Churning.
And then 5 seconds of the churn. And then it would go back and it just sort of looped between the two. And we didn't realise we weren't watching the actual performance. We were just perving.
Watching about a minute of just close-up breasts. And they even did the like the bottom lip. So anyway, context.
I mean, amazingly, that wasn't as filthy as I remember it being. I guess the shock factor was worn off.
Yeah. But also, we did just see the director's cut.
So I suppose compared to that.
There wasn't enough. I didn't know. Yeah. I was like, why are you focusing on the singer? Where are the boobs?
Yeah. Not interested in the song.
But it actually, when they... Because they went from Polish to English. Yeah. And actually, it made sense. We are Slavic girls. We know how to use our charm and beauty.
And they do.
But it was nice because the other ones on stage were all in like a native dress and they did a little spinny thing that's probably got a name. If anyone wants to tell me what the name of the native Polish spinny dance is.
So they're big skirts and they span around and so the skirts made big circles and they filmed it from above and it made pretty patterns. And it was good. So it wasn't all
really
smart.
Really very nice.
But I mean, the reason why it's in this episode is because there's lots of smart as well.
Proper cleavage.
We talked about this earlier on, not in the podcast, but like we feel like Scooch missed the mark because they were going for innuendo, but they didn't quite. They were too aggressive, and so actually it was a bit scary. It didn't come across as innuendo. Like these guys aren't going for innuendo.
No,
they are. They're putting their goods in the front of the shop window.
Yeah, front and centre, literally.
And putting a spotlight on them. And very well done to them. Mm. Good goods, well done.
Good goods. I mean,
it came 14th. 14th with 62 points.
Oh, but what year was that?
Conchita Wurst.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, so that was the year of the epic anthem. Yeah. I was going to say, if it was like maybe even the year before, what won the year before? I can't remember, but
I can tell you. That was 2014, and in 2013, bear with viewers,
bear with
callers, listeners, Denmark won. Oh, with Emily DeForest, and she wrote our entry last year.
Oh. Okay, so maybe it was still like an epic. At some point, that would have won, that Polish entry.
It's just finding the right moment, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I prefer that Polish entry to the one from a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Oh, was this when you were at Eurovision?
Yeah, when I was at Eurovision.
You were at Eurovision?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my Lord.
It's funny, I haven't spoken about it much.
Right, we're about halfway through our selected backing tracks.
Yeah.
Shall we roll? I was going to say the VT, but it's not a VT.
It's not a VT. It's like a sound. Let's roll the sound T.
Shall we play When We Met Nigel and Nigel?
Nadia. When We Met Madia.
Nigel.
Yeah, let's roll. Let's roll it.
Smooth.
Hello. So I have the wonderful Michael Storrs. And what are you calling yourself now? Have you changed your name?
Barb.
And Barb. Or...
Barb Geldof.
And Barb
Geldof.
No, it's
the same as always.
But have you kept your professional name? Do you want
professional name's the same. So okay. I guess that's what you could call me.
Well, I don't know how to say your surname. So that's all.
Awesome.
It's Peaches.
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 Nadia Peaches.
Yeah.
How do you say your surname?
Nadia Ida.
I've never said your surname.
Never said my surname.
Say it again.
Ida.
I just want you to say it.
Ida.
So we've got Michael and Nadia, who I like. So that's why we got them on. Got them on the podcast, which is nice. So you may have heard me exclaim Michael's name
excitedly in the first episode.
Shh, don't tell Nadia.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I heard that particular moment.
She was in the other room. So Michael had the honour of performing at Eurovision in 2015. With Suri. I mean, obviously there are other people in the group, but she's all that matters now. Yeah. But she didn't have short hair then.
No.
She didn't.
Tinted red.
She looks very different.
Mm. Yeah.
She looks very different.
She looks great now.
So we will chat to you about that. And Nadia had the honour of being at Eurovision with me in 2016.
I feel like that's why we're here today.
Yes, it is.
yes.
But that's why we became friends, I think. I mean, obviously, we were stuck on a boat for
three months. When we fell in love.
Yeah, that was when we fell in love. Because we had a mutual affection for Eurovision.
And like anyone else, funnily enough, in the cast.
Yeah.
We started it, remember that.
But I remember getting really annoyed.
You were pretty aggressive, just
in general on that whole contract. But I remember getting annoyed because we were like, oh my God,
hardcore fans.
We've got the Eurovision off. And then everyone was like, yeah, we could go. And then they didn't even turn up in time for the
kids. For the actual thing.
They were kids.
They were late. They just wanted to drink.
Oh, it's not about the drinking.
It's not about the drinking.
It's about the forced fun.
It's about the enforced fun.
Yeah.
And
the inclusiveness.
So were you, when you were at performing at Eurovision, you were backstage with Mons.
Clang?
I was, yeah.
Did you touch him?
No. We were quite close to him in the order, so we were very,
because they had like the little holding pen, which feels like you're at a conference. That's what it looks like on the TV.
Fully backstage. That's really, they build that for, you know, it's not for comfort, shall we say.
it looks very nice.
Yeah.
And does he smell like a fresh meadow?
Well, it depends. It depends what kind of fresh meadow you're used to, fertilising or not. He smells gorgeous. I didn't actually sniff him.
That would
have been weird.
Would you think?
For me to sniff him, yeah.
He would. I think it would be less weird.
I thought you had a thing for us Swedes.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, not all. Not all Swedes.
Just the one that you're married to.
Mm.
Which is Nadia, by the way.
Just for clarification there.
And I was under the impression that you wanted to perform at Eurovision this year.
I thought you were going to say that I was married to you, which is also true, ladies and gentlemen.
We are having babies together.
We are.
We will be. we haven't discussed that with you yet.
Yeah, sorry.
But we will. So, I basically my road to Eurovision is going to be as your backing singer. And I know that Michael feels the same.
Mm.
So the pressure is on.
It's in our rider already.
Yeah.
Pressure for us or for you guys?
I think maybe for you to get in and do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
To get in and do it so that I can be...
Are you guys going to audition for us? Throw something together?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
If you want us to put together a little video montage.
Michael did an audition for, was it? Mamma Mia.
It was for a commercial, but he had sing Mamma Mia.
That's right. And he does 5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't. Work.
So any kind of footage of that would be great, actually.
Okay, I'll get that.
Because that's kind of the same style we're going to go for.
A commercial. I can do that. But I'm also happy to be the dimly lit backing vocalist. I mean, I'm not going to... You don't need a singer. If you want some kind of massive belt,
we would like some movement on stage.
You know,
when they asked Plushenko to ice skate on stage.
Yes.
I'm thinking something like that.
Yeah, well, maybe roller skates.
Yeah, and some glittery hot pants.
Because we know that Starlight Express goes down very well on the continent.
Oh, it does, especially in Germany.
You'll get 12 points from Germany.
That's a good point there.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll do that. Mm. I'll get that in. So this week's episode is about backing singers / dancers.
Mm.
Which is funny because that's what you did.
Oh my God, when this you were is there. Really...
It's like it's thought out. slightly thought about it. So I think now would be a good opportunity to just have a little look at you in action.
just relive that.
Just
that
moment. In Austria. That's
the glory days.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Vienna, 2015.
Which you've got tattooed on your buttocks.
On my
cheek.
Getting
that up now.
So let's have a little watch of that now. We're gonna wrap up tonight. And if we die tomorrow, what do we have to show for the wicked ways down below? The rhythm inside is telling us we can fly tomorrow on the beautiful wind that blows on a cosmic chime. Love attack, I'm gonna get that rhythm back. So has that brought back some...
A tear to my eye. Quite emotional.
That was a really strong year, that year. Where did you... You came fourth.
Fourth, yeah.
But that was really...
Yeah.
I remember that. I didn't know... When I was watching, obviously, I didn't know you.
No, but that's when you first noticed me.
That's when I first noticed you, because you're a foot taller than
me. hard to miss me.
But, I just had a feeling that you would come into my life somehow.
Mm.
And he wrote it and choreographed it all.
He did. Beverly Joe, BJ, she co-wrote it with him. She was his coach on The Voice, so they wrote it together.
Oh yeah, because he won The Voice in Belgium, didn't he? Yeah.
And how did you get involved? Because did you all go to RAM together, or where did you go? How did you?
Nick, the other guy in the backing vocal team, he was also the musical chorus master, if you will.
If you will, for that is what he was.
But he does that. He does that for The Voice in Belgium as well. So he was involved, and then he went to RAM with us, and
he was just like, he just basically guys.
Called up his pals. He's like, guys, you want to go to Eurovision? And we're like, yeah.
Oh my God.
We'll pay you as well.
Oh, cool. All right.
I was going to pay you. But...
Oh, yeah. That's my dream.
Mm-hmm.
So. I remember when you but told me that was so bizarre.
It's a funny phone call to get because you get this phone call saying, do you want to do Eurovision? And the first thing that goes through your mind is, ooh, could you send me the song?
which
am I going to be doing?
Because you could have been ended up doing backing vocals for Moldova.
Milking wearing a cow or something. You know what I mean?
You could have been,
It's risky business.
Or dressed as a bride. Yeah. With flowers around your mic.
I would have really liked that.
Yeah.
That's a strong look.
Yeah.
But I liked it was monochrome. I like that.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. He did like a quadruple... I want to say he spanned... He span around a lot.
For the non-dancers, many spinny things. Yeah.
On the spot.
Yeah, but he's really good. He's an incredible dancer.
Great dancer.
He won Dancing with the People.
Stars?
In France.
Did he?
Yeah, like the Strictly Come Dancing in France.
He won that. Is he a big deal, like in Belgium or France? Or?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
In your house?
He's a big deal in my life.
Yeah. Are you still in touch?
Loosely. I can't remember. I had a message from him.
I mean, message him now.
6 months ago. So.
Tell him to listen to the podcast and maybe share it with all his Eurovision friends.
All right.
And then we can present a show on BBC Three. and eventually take over from Graham Norton, probably in about 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the plan. And I think it all comes from now.
Yeah. Plant that seed.
And obviously Suri was there with long hair.
She was, yeah.
Have you got any gossip about Suri?
Suri, where do I start? she's a legend. She's amazing.
It's all right. If you say anything, we'll just cut it out and come back.
No, you won't.
She won't.
Don't say that. No, she is. She's awesome. She's nice.
But she hasn't asked you to be her backing vocalist this
year? Not yet, no, but I'm still waiting by the phone.
Does she have any?
I don't think she does.
No.
She should. She could do.
She could do.
She wanted to, she could.
And she should.
Probably should.
Tweet her.
I mean, the difficult thing as a backing vocalist then becoming a soloist is because generally as a backing vocalist, you're the best thing about that show. So if you then become the soloist, then there's not really, there's no way to kind of top
Where
that.
Can you,
you
go?
Can't find a backing artist who is better than you, you know, because you've already been the backing.
And you would,
that's a great,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
great story.
That makes sense?
It does make sense. So tell me a little bit about your duo, and I don't mean your marriage. I mean your professional duo.
Duo.
Because I know all about your marriage.
Duo. She does, actually. Mm. We have a film camera in. No, our duo is something we've put together a couple of years ago. So we do working on different classical crossover songs and trying to come up with something new and original. And
and our many, many listeners will know you from the BBC show. What was it called?
Pitch Battle. Which?
Pitch Battle, which you were robbed!
We were robbed. But we had the great privilege of meeting Mel. Mm. Now, they always say, don't meet your heroes. But definitely, when I met her, I was like, please don't be a dick. But she's amazing. And the whole time we were talking about Eurovision, actually, funnily enough, because it was shortly after, what's his face, won for Lisbon? What was his name?
Oh, yeah, Jeff.
For Lisbon, for Portugal. Jeff, who Barney won last
from,
year.
From,
and we were meant to go on stage, and actually her and I were having a conversation, like a full-on chat, and they were like, Daddy, you need to get on stage. We need to actually sing.
I am
sing
talking
your
about
solo. We were like, we're talking. Yeah, no, she was great, and... Yeah, she's really fun.
I'd probably fangirl quite a bit.
She reminds me so much of you.
Stop it.
Like,
go on.
Yeah. You're like the same person.
Would she be my friend?
She would.
Okay.
Definitely.
I thought she'd be friends with everyone.
She's an awesome person.
She'd be friends with everyone. It's not just you.
Not just you. Don't feel special.
Yeah. You are not special.
No, she's...
Yeah.
So. And so you're... What is your... little twosome called?
Crossover.
Boom! Bam!
Because that's what we do.
Yeah, because you cross over.
Cross over.
And I should say that you've just released an album.
Album? Yes, we recorded a debut album. And actually, funnily enough, we have done our own version of Euphoria.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I just dropped that bomb. So, I mean, I'm obviously... I don't know if the viewers know. Do they know I'm Scandinavian?
They will.
They know now.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm Swedish and Norwegian. Now, in Sweden, as you've already discussed in previous
episodes,
Eurovision is a very serious thing. It's almost like a religion, I would say.
You have to learn, like, how to speak and then Eurovision.
Mm.
And then... have to walk.
Before your ABCs, you're watching these videos and getting your ABBA bell bottoms sorted.
I've lost what we were talking about. Oh, yeah, your version of Euphoria.
Yeah, so we did a version of Euphoria, which we shall...
Do you have a version that I can
listen
to?
Send it over to you.
Yeah.
You've got one now that I can listen to.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to it now.
So as that was playing, we were discussing your involvement.
Yes.
In that song.
I'm totally for that.
So I already drew up a contract. So,
that is on your album, which can people download? Because I'm going to link this on the podcast so people can download it.
No,
is it on the iTunes?
It's not on the iTunes, but it's on the website.
The website. I will link that up.
Yeah. Link it up.
Link
the shit out of it, and then people can...
Can you say that?
Why? I can, yeah. I just tick the explicit box.
Beep.
I do what I want. Me and Michael, Watson Gray, on this. Not you, Michael.
This is
not
confusing.
There's so many Michaels. We are doing a competition where you enter a name of the Eurovision song, and we will, at the end of the series, we will pick it out of a hat and write a song, which is what we're going to do. So have a little think, because I'd like you to enter a song title, but not the one that you're going to write.
Not necessarily
for yours. But I mean, I'm just saying, if you want to perform in ours, that's fine. Otherwise, we'll probably be in direct competition.
Oh, great.
In
okay, I see. Yeah. I will see you there, sir.
Yeah, so if you've got a song name, we've had one in, which is Le Voix Fantastique.
Nice. I like this.
But it's a nonsensical. I can't.
Is there a reason behind it?
No, absolutely none. No backstory. This is what's going to happen. Gold.
I'm thinking hard about names, but I hadn't even thought about going into a different lingody.
I think I'm going to go for a German title.
You could go German title.
Because my reason behind picking a German title is that, you know how some people pick French?
Yeah.
It's great because they get the votes from the French countries. Yeah. But nobody picks German.
Yeah.
And why not? Why not?
Because
there are a few countries that speak German in Europe.
I mean, everybody does, really.
So, yeah.
Put German in it. So the full title was Le Voix Fantastique, Dance for Love. And they specified that it's very important that love is capitalised in the title and in the music.
Shouting.
Oh, fantastic. Because there has to be love.
Yeah.
Love is very Eurovision.
Love is very Eurovision. I do need you to think about a song title to enter into the competition. Otherwise, I can't let you.
It has to be something with love, right? Well, I think it should.
It should be.
I mean, you remember Mons did say he won Eurovision with a song about war. But that was the exception to the rule,
yes.
I think.
Yeah.
Because he put a cartoon in the video, so therefore
he
didn't get
away
with it. Mm. Yeah.
Maybe he was listening to the lyrics, were they?
Yeah. Something ich liebe die Welt. Just because that's inclusive.
That's nice.
I feel like that's sending a message.
I think
if the UK seriously sang a song like that, it would just...
But also, I think if we had a title and stuff in there in German, it's like we really are united now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the past is the past.
Yeah.
That's going in. That's a lyric. That's going in.
That's
Remember
going
that.
In. That's
the
English the
past.
Hook in the song, just after the bridge. It's all about the strong bridge in a Eurovision song as well. You need a strong bridge into the middle eight. Strong chorus. Catchy chorus. Chorus?
Catchy chorus.
I've turned into Sean Connery.
Because I was thinking something along the lines of borders around my heart.
Oh,
nice.
Do you see what I'm going with that?
Because
there are no borders in Europe.
It's like
there
anthem.
Are in the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But the UK.
Oh, God, it's topical as well.
Like, where's your heart in the UK?
You just gave me goosebumps a little bit then.
That's
borders around
my heart. That's serious.
Isn't that a quote from Anthem?
Why have you got to be like that?
Sorry. It's plagiarism. It's plagiarism.
You've been wonderful. Thanks so much for coming to visit
me. No, you've
been
wonderful.
Well, I try.
Yes, I have.
And now let's go out and have a little drinky plops. But thank you so much. And can't wait to be your backing singer next year.
See you there.
Yeah. Or vice versa.
Mix it up.
Can you imagine putting the two beautiful people behind, like, me?
Shut up.
I'll be at the front of the stage in darkness. And the backing singers would just be all lit. It would be wonderful.
Like floating heads.
Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna show you a couple of videos now, but I'm gonna say goodbye to everyone else. But
bye.
Goodbye, I love you. But I'm gonna show you a couple of videos that we've spoken about because you need to see them.
Lovely, thanks guys.
I know, and do go and buy their album on the old iTunes.
Yes.
And fingers crossed
that they are in Eurovision next year, either singing our song or we'll see them at Song for Europe. No, it's not called that now. It's You Decide, Eurovision, You Decide. We'll see you there, guys.
Yeah, battle it out.
But still, let us be your backing singers. Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
bye. Thanks.
Love you.
Next on the list, back to business.
Yeah.
Oh. I shocked myself.
It's too much.
All I've written is hamster wheel. That might take some research.
We don't need to say anything else. I am slightly turned on now, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I kind of thought that the man in the wheel would be ridiculous, but actually he was hot.
Yeah,
Watch it.
I'd quite like to get a hamster wheel fitted in my house now. Wow. That was the same year, wasn't it?
Same year, 2014, and that came sixth.
Well,
so that did quite well.
So who was it? We haven't said. We've just said that it's a hamster wheel.
So it was the Ukraine. Oh, sorry, Ukraine, not the Ukraine. Ukraine. And it's Maria Yaramchuk with TikTok.
TikTok.
Now, but don't get me started, because was it Maria or what?
Or was it one of the singers that was not lit?
Yeah, so it looks like there are two performers in this performance, Maria and hot hamster wheel man. However, if you look closely, there are four singers off in the corner wearing black and not lit, but they're there and you can just about see them.
And the things that he makes her do on the hamster wheel, you couldn't do that and sing at the same time.
You couldn't. And if you were, you would hear something in her voice to be like, oh yeah, I've just landed on the floor after being thrown off a wheel. But you hear nothing. And that's because Maria is not singing. She's using a secret singer.
Yeah.
And generally, when there's a massive gimmick, like a fuck-off hamster wheel, you're like, oh my God, look at the man in the hamster wheel.
So
you're
not
looking
notice.
At all the people in the corner who are singing for Maria to lip-sync to. People have said to me since listening to this podcast, surely that doesn't really happen.
Oh,
it happens all the time. Honestly, we didn't even pick that because we thought it would be a secret singing thing. We've got a whole other episode planned.
Yeah, which is annoying because we can't use that.
I know, and it's a really good example.
We'll touch on it. We'll put it in again.
Yeah, and so as it turns out, hamster wheel, actually quite arousing. The real scandal there is the secret singing of the backup singers.
I mean, gone are the heady days when the singer would say on mic to the backing singers,
flat girls,
or off. One of those days.
Yeah.
They're not even speaking into their own mic with anything. Ah, oh, but yeah, that was, I don't know what to do with myself, actually.
Sorry. But yeah, for all you doubters out there, definitely watch the video for that one.
Yeah.
It's all linked as per normal. And see if you can find the secret singers. Right, next we've got Estonia 2010. We'll watch the whole performance. We'll tell you in a minute. Sorry, I'm back. Before we talk about it, watch it, okay? Don't listen to us talk about this until you've watched it, and watch it to the end. In fact, if you only watch the last 20 seconds, do that. So give me some and give me strength. You watched it. try and get on with it. So we watched this one because of the backing singer that passes out at the very end. I mean, I think when they whipped their heads, he like they just sung a really big note, and so I think he'd used all of his air, bless him, and then he whipped his head too fast.
And he did that thing, you know, like there's a pressure point where you can knock someone out. Well, you press it, and I think he just... but it was in perfect time.
Literally, like it was choreographed. So that's why this one's in the list. But actually, watching the whole performance, it's so wonderfully awful.
It's just, there's a piano player who I'm going to hazard a guess that doesn't play the piano.
Oh, but he hates the piano, I'll tell you that much.
And then...
Every time the lead singer has sung something, he like whips the microphone away from his face and does like a knowing, sang that line.
and then he's trying to scrape something off his feet.
He's got like dog poo on his shoe.
And he's just, and then just, I thought that the cameraman was going to go.
At the end, because there's so much spinning. Like you start to watch it, you're starting to feel like, oh God, can we stop spinning? I'm feeling a bit dizzy. Completely unaware that we're not the only ones feeling like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just if you decided, oh, I can't be bothered to swap onto YouTube, turn the podcast off right now and go and watch it.
But come back.
I mean, please, but you must. You must see that. And if you've got 3 minutes, please watch it all. Jesus. That's a Estonia 2010 Malcolm Lincoln with Siren.
Oh, that was just...
I think, we literally are crying.
I think I might need another cup of tea.
Oh, I mean, do you want it now? Should we move on?
Let's get a cup
we
of
could
tea.
Turn them off for a second and I'll make tea.
So what is up next, Mickey?
So next on the list is Gina G. I mean, I don't think there's anything particularly mad about the backing singers, dancers here that I could remember. But the reason I put it on the list is that I do remember that for some reason there's a PC on stage with her. And I feel like, well, that needs investigating.
Let's investigate now. Well,
there's a PC.
There is a PC.
It's enormous.
You said PC. What you didn't mean was that it was like, I just have automatically gone, oh, it's like a DJ's laptop. But it's a proper, it's one of those VDU screens, like the ones that are, as they're deeper than they are wide.
Yeah. And like underneath the screen, there's a slot for a floppy disk. Yeah, it's like the computer that controls CERN. It's enormous.
Or Bertha. What was that called? That children's show with that Matt? Sorry, I'm eating a ginger nut. Anyway, it's irrelevant. Bertha. Yeah. There was a big
I don't
old
know.
Machine, but it was huge. This thing was huge.
It was huge. One of the best backing dancers was the PC. No, actually, the backing dancers were great.
Yeah.
And even though they were wearing like Madonna microphones, they absolutely weren't singing, and nor could or should they have, because they were going for it.
It was like a Smack the Pony sketch.
It really was.
Where they were proper going for the dark. Like, it was slightly, it's like when your mates had a bit too much to drink, and then they've gone, oh my God, I love this song, and they go over the top, and you're like, babe, it's Sinead O'Connor. and they're doing too much. But yeah, they were proper dancing.
Yeah.
And I've still got I might post the picture of me in a very similar dress that I had at the time. But I still own. And
she still fits into it.
Still fit into it, obvs.
Natch. So again, it wasn't quite secret singer syndrome, but you're meant to think that the hyperactive girls are singing, but it's not. It's the two people off on the right-hand side at the keyboard station. They're the ones that are doing the singing.
But Gina G is
plus Gina,
who
sang well and, you know, looked great and performed it really well.
I always wanted that dress, not going to lie.
The glitter ball dress.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, chain mail. chain mail of glitter. I wanted it. But yeah, I'm going to ask Ollie, because he must have been he must have started DJing around then.
Did he have to go around with a PC?
What it was, because he had to carry around a massive screen. It's just because obviously now everything can be on a laptop.
Yeah.
Which is
like everything.
Yeah. Did people DJ? I don't think they did.
I thought they had like decks and records.
Yeah, there was no kind of like. You wouldn't just put your music. I don't think
because it's before digital music. What was the computer for?
What was he doing with it?
What was it for?
I don't know. It's fascinating.
Maybe that's where we came at.
Because they were like, "Why have you got a computer?"
Yeah, we don't understand.
Or maybe they thought we were cheating.
Maybe she was robbed. I'm just having a look at the stats. I was like, "Who did win?" Of course, Ireland won.
Oh God. Oh yeah, because of course we were in Dublin.
Oh yeah, the next year when we won. The last time though, guys.
Oh no. And it's 21 years ago.
Oh God.
Yeah. Anyway. On that horrible downer, let's go on to our last one.
Bell and the Devotions. Oh yes.
That was like they had looked up the 80s and then gone, yeah, this will look like the 80s, even though it was 1984. Was it?
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
That makes it... Oh, 1983 was that other one with the...
Starlight Express.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like they've based it on that Victoria Wood sketch, yes. Waiting at the Chippy. Which, of course, is a piss take of the 80s.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, the poor backing dancers, all their hair must be ruined from all that dance.
I was thinking that. I was like, so it's 1984, fast forward to now, they must all be bald, three of them.
Yeah.
Their hair's fucked.
And they're just wearing...
They've all got, like, it's all been, like, stripped, and then the lead singer, it's white, and then one is red and one is orange, and it's all just like wild and frizzy, yeah. And
80s
mad,
and then they're facing the back for
at least half
the song, and they're doing, whoever's choreographed it has done, like, you can only move on beats one of the bar. Or, like, but you have to count to eight and you can only move on one, because they'll do, like, move, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, another move. And they do that throughout the song. And then when they're allowed to come to the front, they do that awkward coat takeoff.
Yes, although I bet they were, because, I mean, that was, like, what, PVC,
yeah,
green PVC? They're sweltering in that.
They'd be stuck to it. Like, oh, yeah. I can't get it
but
off.
Well, it doesn't quite come off very easily, and sort of flung on the stairs.
Thank you, why?
In a haphazard manner.
And then they come to... Then, then they walk to the front. But I think my favourite bit was that the chorus at the end goes on and on.
Oh, we thought Sonia had fatigue.
It's but this nothing. Was just... She looked bored by the end. She was like, I can't do it again. But so they go to walk off, and then it keeps going. So they go to walk up the steps at the back, and it keeps going. So then they turn back around and go, baby, baby. Oh. It's just, yeah. I mean, that
it's,
was...
It's a bad entry, all in all. Not to put too fine a point on it. Should we see where it came?
Yeah, where did we finish up with that gem of a number?
We came seventh.
Wow.
That came seventh. I mean, I think that's all the material, that's all the content that we have for today.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say once again, please send us in your competition entries at Don't Play The Song on Twitter, Don't Play That Song Again via Gmail, at gmail.com, and on Instagram if you want to send it via picture.
Perhaps you could record yourselves fainting.
I like shouldn't Estonia.
Say that. Yeah, it shouldn't say. Yeah. Don't
get three mates. Line yourselves up. Head, faint, head. If you're number four, Don't let the side down. Yeah, ignore him like he's a soldier at Horse Guards Parade. Yeah. Ignore him. You do your head turn.
Yeah.
Because this is the Eurovision.
Oh.
We'll, you know, we'll try and revive him later.
That's my highlight. That's my highlight of today.
I just want to watch it again.
Yeah, we're going to watch it again. But on that note, have a lovely morning, afternoon, evening, lunch.
It's getting so close to the competition now.
Yep. Get your entries in.
Woo!
See you next time. Love you. Bye.
Bye.